The photography world is continuously changing. Hi, I'm Mark Sadowski. You may know me from such award-winning shows such as Casual Photography, The Tiny Shutter, and Flash Mob. In the chaos between a photographer's needs and tech, we have strived for a more simpler, more rewarding photographic experience for both our clients and ourselves. We're proud to introduce II. With II, photography has never been more enjoyable. II makes your colors vibrant, your experience easier. We started with II's simple design. It's seamless, it's light, and it's beautifully, unapologetically simple, making it a more rewarding experience for the beginning photographer all the way to the veteran. II just makes it better. There's only one answer to your photographic question, and that is II.
I'm going to put that one at the beginning of our show, of the episode.
I got to make some more is what I need to do. I miss doing those.
This is episode 155 on March 24th, 2016.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
I am Matt Hoffman.
And I'm Mark Sadowski.
Welcome back, Mark.
I wasn't really gone that long.
No, no, but it's always good to have you on the show. Thanks for covering for me on my week off.
Yeah, and I apologize to anybody who I offended.
So how are you doing, man? What you been up to?
I have been, since turning 40, I asked God for one prayer, and that is to relive part of my childhood. And he gave me shingles.
So the fun part, then.
Right. He's like, how's that? Grow up.
Oh.
Don't be a baby.
Wow.
So you've just been like sitting around in like an oatmeal bath all day.
Oh my God, I could go for an oatmeal bath right about now. It's not terrible. I have it on a small patch on my back, you know, the part that I can't reach.
Yep.
And a little bit on my side. And it's just a little bit itchy. It could have been worse. I caught it just in time.
Oh.
And I went on meds pretty much day two of experiencing all of this. And yeah, lots of fun. But in between that, I've been doing some iPhone photography. Maud Byrne, a colleague from other episodes and other podcasts, we took our families to Tuckabrook Falls and Garwin Falls up in the Milford area of New Hampshire. And they have, I mean, we've gone there hundreds of times just to photograph those waterfalls. And we finally brought our families to check them out. And it was fun. And did a little bit of iPhone photography. Unfortunately, I got nothing that was a good keeper, except for my son hiding in this little cave.
Oh.
But yeah, it was still good fun.
Well, good. Matt, what you been up to?
You know, mostly just going back through my photos and editing pictures that I took like weeks ago.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I've also spent some time kind of looking into photo location apps.
Oh, yeah.
Like I mentioned on the show last week. I did reinstall the Stuck on Earth app by Trey Ratcliffe. And I can't really say that I recommend it. The first thing I saw was a very inappropriate, explicit picture.
Oh, wow.
And then the other thing I noticed is that I might have been a little premature in wishing for an app like this because, you know, basically what you're seeing is whatever people upload to it, right?
Oh,
so, for instance, in my area, there seems to be like one person that's doing a majority of the uploading, and all they take pictures of is trains.
Yes.
So there's like a million little pins all over the map where I live, and you could click on any one of them, and 19 times out of 20, it's a train.
Trains are mobile. How are you supposed to show up at that point and actually
see it? So are the phones.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And so I've kind of been looking and trying to find, you know, some other apps, and I found a few, and I didn't write down what they were called, but I remember when I went in the App Store to look at them, they hadn't had any updates in, you know, a couple years. Oh. So I was like, okay, well, I'm certainly not going to try these apps out. There was one app that somebody on Twitter mentioned to me, an app called Shutter Spots. And it's you know, it's another one of those apps where you can, you know, you can contribute, you know, photos or whatever for different locations, and you can favorite locations and make like lists and stuff like that. And it seems like an okay app. I fired it up, and the only thing that listed anywhere near me was the Cleveland Zoo. Mm-hmm. Which is almost an hour away, and I just find it hard to believe that there's, you know, apparently there's nothing to take pictures of within an hour of where I live.
Well, that tells you how many people actually use that app.
Well, yeah, that could be. The developer of the app actually got into the conversation on Twitter and said that he had some updates and some new features that were going to be added soon. So I thought that was kind of intriguing. So that was one of the things that persuaded me to download it and just check it out.
Which one is that?
Shutter Spots.
How much is it?
It was free.
Nice. I can afford that.
Yeah. I would hope so.
Some days.
So yeah, I don't know. I've just been... It kind of made me rethink my wish for an app like this. I'm starting to think maybe the best thing is just go out and explore on my own.
Yeah. And probably, too, you haven't even found the right one yet. So.
Yeah, that could be as well. But I'm thinking mostly no.
Yeah. let's see here. Oh, yeah, yeah. Dave says, made by people around San Francisco for people from San Francisco. Maybe. Yeah. San Francisco. I love San Francisco. Sorry.
it goes to the Apple Watch. That's kind of cool.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah. How many of the apps that have you noticed are compatible with the Apple Watch?
Too many and it's annoying.
Oh,
quite a few.
That's cool.
The only one that I've ever used is what's it called?
The Fitbit
Slow
one?
Shutter Cam.
I'm just kidding.
Slow Shutter Cam is the pretentious version of your iPhone cord.
Yes.
I could either use the $30 earbud or I can use the $400 watch to take my photo.
Yes.
Just because I don't want to touch the screen.
Yes. Oh, that's cool. I have been actually going through a lot of my old images. I actually took our advice and used, I got a setup with the Amazon Prime Photos. And my wife took her, this will show you an insight into our life. But her uploads was around 2 gig of images, and
I'm impressed.
Yeah, I know. She does. She takes a lot of images and will text them, and so finally I got her to store them on her computer and get them off her phone, and she does that. And she did that lately. I said, "You need to take the images off your phone." She goes, "I already did. I was running out of space." I'm like, "Oh, okay, great." So it was around 2 gig of upload for her. And then I took the folders that had my images and put it onto the Amazon app for the computer. And that was 165 gig. And I'm like, oh, that's going to take a while. So I've got about
100 gigs were just of your Jeep.
Close. That was the children. Yeah.
Again, the Jeep. Yeah. It is now one of your dependents.
I actually had to delete the app off of my phone just because I was kind of running out of space. So, but I would like go through and flip through by, because it breaks it down by year and month. So you can actually go back through and see, you know, the kids when they were, you know, in diapers and, well, half of them are in diapers, but, it was the other half that aren't in diapers right now that I was seeing in diapers, and, just fun to see some of the pictures that I took a while ago. So I'm going to, once I get everything uploaded, I'll probably make room on my phone and download that app again and start going through and seeing all the images that I have taken over the last, 3-4 years. And these are all pretty much just my iPhone's, images, not my DSLR images. So that's another probably 100 gig of upload, but
I still find it amazing that we live in a time, our kids live in an age where their lives are tracked from birth till whenever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And seeing the progress in some cases each day along the way.
Yes. One of the images popped up of my oldest losing her first tooth. And I saw that and I'm like, oh, that wasn't too long ago. And, you know, now she's going to have her first cavity. But that's another story. But you're right. I mean, we live in an age where everyone carries a camera and everyone is taking pictures and everyone is forgetting where those pictures are, or they leave them on their phone or they lose them and it crashes and they, you know, we're probably going to lose more images than we'll ever care to look at. Unless, you know, we find a way that can manage those images well. And I think Amazon and a lot of the other developers are going to come up with a way to say, hey, you know, we can organize your images and you can go through and choose the best ones, and we can create albums for you your family to be able to look through, and we could just provide them a link and they can flip through and see all the images that they want to see. We are getting into a time where 100 gigabytes isn't a big deal. That's like, you know, 3 years worth.
You know what we're going to see at some point? Because Facebook is doing a pretty good job of tracking everybody. And you're going to see at some point, if Facebook is still around, which I'm guessing it probably will be in some form or another, when our kids get to, you know, a certain age, they will have something in there that will be, this is your life.
Yeah.
And have every moment of your life.
That's kind of scary.
That is kind of scary. Or if I reach a certain age, it's like, hey, since you're on death's doorstep, here's your life from the time we were, time Facebook was launched, and until your death in 3 to 4 weeks. I'll be like, hey, oh, crap.
You know, or they take every single image and put them like 30 frames a second, and you can see your life flash before your eyes.
Oh, my God. And if it's, you know what, here's the scary part, or not a scary part, but here's where somebody will come to a realization. You know those people who love taking selfies?
Yeah.
It'll be, when they get there, this is their life. It's going to be like this big 30-second flip book. The background is changing, but their faces stay the same. And it's just blah, 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 blah. It's like they will realize that they spent their whole life taking pictures of themselves.
Yeah, that's sad. Dave, I can't even spell that. Dave said that his niece is taking pre-birth pictures of her, you know, her pregnancy, and it's all, you know, of her belly, you know, baby belly. And it's like, I think about it, I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, we didn't do that a lot. You know, we have.
I didn't take pictures of my wife's belly. And, no. You know, to truth be told, it's hard to do facial recognition with that.
Yeah.
yeah, a few pictures here and there.
Yeah. But, you know, you always have the, you know, the people, they set up the once a week images as they are about to give birth. And then they have the one where it looks like the baby is actually in her belly, but it's not. It's on the outside of her. That, I think that's kind of cool. But
wait, what?
Yeah.
You got to spell this out before I make fun of you. I
No, you can see people taking pictures of themselves, and the belly gets bigger and bigger. And the last one, you know, it. So the second to the last is the husband kind of holding her belly. And then the last one is him in the same position, but holding the baby like it's in her tummy, but you can actually see the baby. Does that make sense? All right. It doesn't make sense to Mark, but
I'm a little disappointed that I can't make fun of you though.
Oh yeah. So, yep. Needless to say, my carrier is probably cringing right now with the number of images that I'm uploading to Amazon. And I already got a note from Amazon saying that we've met the limit on the videos before we have to start paying for more uploads of video. So images are free. Once you, videos and files, they give a certain, I think it's like 5 gigabyte. And then after that, you have to pay for the storage, which is, it's okay. I mean, videos take up a lot of space, but images, I like that they're right now unlimited.
Yeah.
Emphasis on the right now. So, all right. Well, let me do this. Let's go ahead and let's jump into the news.
News team, assemble!
All right, this week we had an announcement from Apple. Yes, they have announced another iPhone. And the iPhone is the iPhone SE, which is the 4-inch iPhone that is similar to the iPhone 5 and 5S. So I thought it would be good for us to talk about it because they actually did some things that I thought was very nice. Mark and I talked about it after watching the keynote, and it warranted discussion because I think this is a great phone for a lot of people. And so let's start off, Mark, what were your thoughts on it? Do you go ahead and give
all right,
a
let me break it down.
Yes, break it down for us.
The first bit was Apple saying bring in FBI, and which I was happy about because I support Apple in this respect, keeping things private. Part two, I am glad that they didn't announce a new Apple Watch because I had just recently bought one and I took the gamble and I won. So hooray. The new iPhone, I think, is significant in that a lot of people were wanting a new iPhone but just didn't like the new larger sizes.
Yes.
And this basically brings them back up to speed with a smaller iPhone. And having the, for all intents and purposes, it's the iPhone 6S. It has basically has everything except for the 3D touch.
Yes.
It has the kick butt cameras, has the 4K capability, It has faster processor and the whole nine yards.
The selfie flash. It has the True Tone.
Yeah. Flash. All the bells and whistles except for 3D Touch, basically. Yeah. And that's pretty cool. And the other thing is that it's, and this is a relative term, but it's pretty cheap. It is, I think the starting price, if you're buying it outright, is $399.
Yep.
And if you're using it through a carrier service, if you're doing it on contract, then it's, you know, you don't pay any money down.
It's the quote unquote free model.
Right. And for our country, anyway, it's pretty sweet. And I think for other countries as well who just buy it outright, I think that's a pretty decent price. It's a good standard model phone. Yeah. And sadly, they're still doing the 16 gig start, but, yes, you know, that's fine.
But they only have the 16 and the 64 gig. You can't go any higher, and there's no right in between. Yeah, one of
the 64 gigs is just... I don't see any reason to go any higher than that. I think that's fine.
Yeah. I wouldn't go from the 6 down to the SE. Number one, I've gotten used to the size of my screen. And, you know, the 6 for me works. The 6S, not 6S, the Plus is, I think for myself, just kind of too big. But there are a lot of people who have smaller hands or don't like the size of the 6 that are really going to love this phone. Not only is it the entry level, but they gave it all the bells and whistles of the latest flagships. So yeah. I thought that was a good move on Apple to do that, because they weren't going to be like, oh, well, you know, here's this one, but you can't have 4K video. You can't have the 12 megapixel camera. You can't have the selfie flash for the screen. You know, no, if you want all that
somewhere else.
Yeah. If you want all that, you're going to have to upgrade to our flagship. No, this was a great way to say, yeah, we're listening to everybody, and we do have some people that don't like the sizes of our flagship. So here is a model that fits those needs. And we're not going to scrap all the good stuff just because it is a lesser quote unquote phone. And I think they did a great job. Let's see here. I'm going to look through here real quick to see if there was anything else that kind of caught my eye. But,
well, Matt, what did you think of the new phone announcement?
I think it's cool that they were able to make, you know, the smaller form factor with the performance of the larger phones.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not speaking to me. Like, I don't want it. I am now like a convert to the larger size. Yes. I really like the large size. So it's not for me, but I don't have like any kind of problem with it. You know, there's
right.
Seems to be like a lot of people out there, if they don't think they want to buy the product, then there must be something wrong with it. But, you know, I don't feel that way. I think it looks like a nice phone. I'm actually kind of trying to nudge my wife to finally get rid of her 4S.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And maybe pick up one of these, because it looks like a pretty awesome phone. And really all the features that it has are features that I know that she would like. And I think the fact that it doesn't have 3D touch, I don't really feel like at this point in time that should be a deal breaker for anybody.
Yeah.
I think 3D touch is one of those things that is still, it's still such like a new thing. It's not a learned behavior yet.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's like you gotta remember to use it. So, I at this point, even though 3D touch has potential to be like cool, it's not at that point yet where it's like a must-have feature.
Right.
But, you know, it's really awesome that they have, you know, live photos in there, that they got the upgraded camera in there. You know, and I think those are things that people like my wife, who are not really married to their phone, but they use it to take pictures of stuff. You know, she takes pictures of our son and stuff like that. I think she'd really see some benefit from upgrading to this phone.
Yeah. Bill in the chats asked who do we think this is targeted at? And he said first time buyers with a question mark. And yes, first time buyers, or I think they really want to entice first time buyers. But they had showed a graph of how many still had the smaller form factor phones, and they want to, they want those people to be comfortable enough to move on to this one without having to, say, change their, the form factor. Yeah. I was thinking, actually, isn't this the same size as the iPhone 5 and the 5S?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same look and feel.
So I think that all of the lenses that you can buy, say, Oloclip or anything else, maybe some of the cases, there would not be that much of a difference in the phone, that you can reuse a lot of those old gear.
I honestly don't know without having checked on the specifics. I know with things like the Oloclip, they're pretty machine.
Yes.
Made to fit like a glove.
Yeah. They're specifically made for those individual models.
Yeah. And same with the cases. So I honestly don't know. Although that's worth looking into.
So when it comes out, I think we'll find out if it will work. And it may be, I don't know, we'll have to look. Maybe some of those manufacturers will already say the iPhone SE for their product, if it was specifically made for the 5S model.
Yeah. I'm looking at the Apple website right now, and right now they have the 6S, the 6, and the iPhone SE as their items to purchase. And there's no, I can't see for certain if the 5 and the 5E, 5E. Oh my God, this is getting good. Confusing. The 5S, if they share the same dimensions.
Yeah.
I want there to be a 5E now.
The expert, right? And that kind of takes us back to our discussion we had a while ago on whether or not they're going to have 6 different models to choose from come this next fall. You know, are they going to have a 7, a 7S, a 7, a 7 Plus, and a 7 Pro? Or, you know, I think it's going to be a 7 and a 7 Plus. I don't think they'll have the Pro model. But then they'll also have the 6S and the 6S Plus and the SE. So, I don't know, 5, 6 models to choose from?
I don't even want to think about the stupid Pro discussion again until
we get there.
Yeah, I still don't know how to feel about that. Of course, there's nothing to feel about anything yet. So,
well, once they announce the new phone, or once like the new whatever the newest phone or phones are that go on sale, like I don't consider the older ones as like a model in the lineup.
Yeah. Anymore.
Like, even though they might still sell them, I don't know. Like, to me, right now, you can buy the 6S and the 6S Plus. Those are the phones. There's two phones. Yep. You know what I mean? And then next week there will be three when they add the SE.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just think about it that way. It makes it a lot less confusing.
Joe? You're dead to him.
Well, I just figure like if you're gonna buy an iPhone, you know, I mean, unless you just really don't care at all, then why would you buy a 6 or a 6 Plus?
Right.
You know, why, I don't understand why you would do that when there's already something better that you could buy.
Well, not everybody buys their phone. They get it subsidized. And so many people look at the price and say, you know what? That price is okay, and that's going to have to work for me. Whereas you have some people, even though they dished out $600-$700 the year before, they're going to turn around and buy the brand new one that comes out and pay another $600-$700. And that's their lifestyle. That's the way they do it. And then you have some people that will sit there, you know, like what your wife has on the 4S forever until it breaks, until they can't use it anymore. And then they'll be like, well, you know what? That one right there, the free model, that one's good enough for me. Even though there is a, you know, the other ones may have or be bigger or have, you know, the same specs, but yeah, it just depends. I don't think everybody has to have the latest and greatest. I mean, we try to stay on the cutting edge because we do this podcast and we love photography. And others, they just talk on it. That's all they do.
Yeah. Dave in the chat room makes a good point. He says a coworker of his bought a 6 instead of a 6S and that she saved $100 on it. And the difference wasn't really enough for her to spend that extra $100. So I guess I could understand that, but I don't know. I still adhere to my way of thinking about the phones. There's the 6S, the 6S Plus.
Yeah.
Those are the two models.
Yeah. Anything else you want to mention about the new phone?
No. Nah. I think we've said all there needs to be.
Okay.
The camera was flat.
Oh yeah, it doesn't protrude out of the phone, but it is a thicker case. A thicker body. Let's talk briefly about the iPad Pro. Mark. So Apple announced a new iPad Pro. They first introduced the iPad Pro 6 months? No, not was it six I months mean, ago?
It was in November.
Yeah.
Well, it released in November.
Okay. The 12.9-inch iPad Pro. Well, they just announced a 9.7-inch. They have put a 12-megapixel EyeSight. So the latest EyeSight camera is in it. It does live photos. It also has the it also has a 5-megapixel FaceTime front-facing camera.
Okay. So Joe's trying to delay the inevitable because he is enjoying twisting the cord. In a previous episode, I mentioned why I bought the iPad Pro. It's because when doing wedding photography and I'm doing a photo booth, I didn't invent this, but in this case, I created it. I might as well take credit for something. I created a selfie booth for my clients. Basically, all they're paying for is a second person to man the booth. And instead of doing the photo booth where it spits out pictures, they're just doing these photo booths. And I'm just giving the bride and groom the pictures later on.
Yeah.
And I have a specific app. I forget what the app is called. It underwent a change recently. It used to be called Wedding Booth, but it's something else now. I think it's called Custom Booth now, where you can, it makes a photo booth. So it uses the front-facing camera to do the photos. And every front-facing camera on the iPad stinks.
It was usually a 1.2 megapixel
at
camera.
Best. And so I went with the iPad Pro because, it's just I could do a lot more. And there's a lot more surface area for the people to write on. Because it'll take the series of three photos and then it'll allow you to write a message. And so having the bigger screen, it'll allow me to write the message. Everything is fine. But I was really hoping that this would have the larger sensor for the front. I mean, it's an iPad Pro. Why not have the larger megapixel? And I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm just going to get this. It'll be fine. And then a few months later, they come out with this little tiny bugger. And I don't know. I just think it's...
They have an iPhone 4 camera in it.
Yeah, and it hurts just a little bit. I mean, this is the textbook definition of first world problem.
Yeah.
It's not going to make a huge difference. I just think that they gave this guy a lot for something that's, I don't know. I wish that they were more on par with one another. They gave the better tech to
the smaller one.
They gave the better camera tech to the smaller version. However, the larger iPad has 4 gigs of RAM instead of 2 gigs of RAM. It has a little bit more graphical power.
Right.
And then the smaller one has some new features like the white balancing, which I find kind of interesting, but negligible.
Well, they put they put True Tone flash. They took the panorama. They increased it from 43 megapixels to 63. They also with video, they have 4K.
Yeah, it could take 4K.
Yep,
and as then, well as edit it.
So your time lapse, well, that they both have them. Cinematic video stabilization.
Yeah,
and there's a lot to this iPad that even my phone doesn't have. I think if you're looking for an iPad. This is the one to buy. It's going to do a lot of things. Well,
I don't know. It depends. The screen on the bigger one is really, really nice.
That's true. And in the fall, they may announce the features for the 12.9. This could be the one where people that bought the 10-inch iPad would be like, if I'd only waited 6 months, then I could have had this in a larger form factor.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. That's a whole other headache, but.
Is it diabolical?
It's standard operating procedure for Apple.
What do you guys think of that, like, white balance shift? Do you think that, like, if you were using the iPad for photo editing, that would just really mess with your editing?
I think so.
I don't know. Because, honestly, I don't know. I would have to try it out. It looks like something that would be useful, but only if you're going to be printing afterwards.
Right. Well, even uploading would... Okay, so let's inform everybody of what we're talking about. Apple has taken a feature, and they know that the images that we're looking at, the everything that we have looks different in different lighting. So if you're in tungsten lighting, the screen will look blue. If you're in daylight, it'll look... what would it look like in daylight?
Normal.
Yeah, it just depends. Different lighting. If you're in fluorescent, it might be a different color. So what they've done is the iPad is now able to detect what kind of lighting you're in and adjust the screen to match the lighting so that the whites don't look blue or orange, that they would look white. And so if you're editing that, that'd be good. That's something to think about. If you're editing and you're trying to get a white balance, that's a correct white balance, would that throw off your edit?
All right. Here's what the iPad Pro website is saying. It goes on to saying that it uses advanced four-channel ambient light sensors to automatically adapt to the color and intensity of the display to match the light in your environment, which means reading is more natural and comfortable, almost like looking at a sheet of paper. So I don't think this is going to be benefiting anybody doing photo editing. This is going to be something that benefits people when reading. So when you're in a warm tone environment, your iPad is going to turn warm tone as well, just so that there's not going to be this harsh contrast on your eyes. So I don't think photo editing is ideal on this. I think it's going to actually hurt you if you're doing any kind of color correcting.
Greg says that he would turn it off for editing.
Yeah.
So... Huh. That's something I guess we're going to find out shortly once it comes out, because it's coming out in a few days. And we'll have to hear from people who get it. If you do get it and you do notice that your images are different, let us know.
I'll go into an Apple store. I'll give it a try. And
you're just torturing yourself.
No, at this point, I mean, I'll just look at... I still have the bigger device. So I get to satisfy some sort of instinct there. So I will be just fine.
That's awesome. All right. Anything else on the iPhone or the iPad?
Matt, you were mentioning before the show started.
Oh, yes.
This is something that you might look into using instead of a computer.
I think we're getting there. I don't think I want to do that yet, but I could see it. I could see that happening like in a year or two.
Yeah.
What do you think is missing that is preventing you from doing going the whole nine yards?
The desktop.
I don't know. I'm just wondering if it would be too big of an adjustment for me to do like all. I mean, on my desktop computer, mostly what I do is I edit pictures and post them on the internet and browse the internet. It's mainly what I do. So I'm kind of thinking there's not any real reason why I couldn't just do all that from like an iPad Pro, and I'd get the keyboard case or you know, some sort of Bluetooth keyboard for it. And as long as I had a way to store all my photos, like in a hard drive that the iPad can access, then I don't really see any issue.
Something to think about.
I like the features that are in the new one, but I think, you know, for editing, especially if I'm going to edit, hopefully RAW files or TIFF files or something, I would definitely need at least the 4 gigabytes of RAM.
Yeah. The one feature that I wish the iPad would have, and it doesn't, is being able to record what you're doing on the device. A video recording.
Gotcha.
So if we're doing
app for that,
they always get taken down.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, there's ways you could do it, syncing your iPad to your your computer, and I don't know. I just wish there was a easier way to record what you're doing.
Well, the chips are getting better and better. They're getting faster and faster and able to do more things. I don't see why that wouldn't be a feature coming soon, but I don't know.
It's been able to do this for quite some time, but they just won't allow that to happen. Apple puts the kibosh on that pretty quickly.
Yeah, well, I think we're getting there, slowly but surely.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bill in the chat room said that, one of the drawbacks from moving from a desktop to a iPad would be storage. But you mentioned about getting a network external hard drive to be able to do that.
Yeah, I think... even right now, I think there's certainly options out there to make that system work. I can't speak specifically as to what they are, but I know that such things exist.
I like that Tim Cook mentioned that you can use the USB connector for podcasting. So... it was nice to see that they were talking about podcasting a little bit.
I did not catch that.
Yeah.
I'll have to watch that part again.
Yeah, it was at the end of the iPad, and they were talking about using the SD card reader, or getting the USB for your cameras to plug in, and they even said for using the USB for a external mic. So, something to look into.
All right, I'll have to look into that.
Yeah.
All right, one last feature that I think we should talk about is, have you guys used the night mode?
I haven't done the upgrade yet.
Nope, I haven't done that either.
No, I usually give it a week or
yes.
so.
You're not wrong to do that.
Yeah.
But in this case, I think it was okay. And the night mode, I think, is all right. I have it on my iPhone, and I have it to a low intensity.
Is it for all of the iPhones that can use the...
The iPhones and iPads.
It's all of them? So... The 6 and the 6S are 6 and 6 Plus. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to have to try that.
I'm going to give it a try, the night mode thing, but I don't actually think it'll make much of a difference for me in terms of sleep, because when I turn my phone off, I'm generally asleep in a couple minutes.
Yeah.
So I don't really think that's going to make a whole lot of difference, but I asked the question earlier about the white balance shift on the new iPad and how that would potentially affect editing. Well, I guess this night mode would be the same kind of deal, really. So
more or less. It's not the whole. It's not the same because it's not reacting to the light in the room. It's doing it automatically. So at 10 o'clock.
I get that, but you're still shifting
the color.
Everything looks on the screen from
the temperature,
basically from blue to yellow. So I just want to, I want to edit like in Nlight or Snapseed or something over the time that it switches from the one to the other, and see if like when it changes, am I going to be like, oh my gosh, this looks crazy, and then, you know, have to make changes to get it to look normal. And then when it switches back, it turns out all those changes I made made it look horrible in the blue light. You know what I mean? Like it
totally. Could just.
So I just want to see like how it's going to affect that, because it's going to, but I just don't know how drastically.
I'll have to give it a try. Although I've noticed that all my black and whites turn sepia.
Really? That's a bonus.
I think it's a bug in the system. I'll have to write to the Apple.
All right. Anything else you guys want to mention?
I think we're good on the announcements.
All right, let's do this. All right. Our weekly photo challenge for this last week was transitions. And we had some submissions that were pretty good. We're in the season of moving from winter to spring, and my area has decided to, I guess for the trees have decided to release all their pollen. So we're in the middle of pollen season, and the cars are being dusted with this nice yellow. So we're definitely in a transition.
Oh, so they have the new feature that Apple was
yes.
Yeah. They got the patch notes.
Yeah. The trees got the upgrade to 9.3, and everything is shifting from brown to yellow. So
there you go.
So today it is my turn to pick the post pick of the week, and I looked through the images and they all looked really good. There was actually one that I'll mention that I really liked, but the one that I have chosen was submitted.
Oh, just before you go, I wanted to contribute to this one, but I could not get J.J. Abrams and George Lucas to be in the same photo.
Oh, nice.
It's too bad.
Yeah.
That's a good idea, Mark.
Yeah.
That would have been a great transition.
Yeah.
Yes, it would.
But I just couldn't manage it.
Well, in this case, it's the thought that counts. I know, had you been able to do it, the picture would have been amazing.
It would have to have been a panoramic with George Lucas's neck.
Oh.
Oh, I went too low on that one. I'll shut up now.
Yeah. The image I chose was submitted by Ruth Elliott Klein, and it was of, I believe, a goose running across the water getting ready for takeoff. And the wings are up. It's the backdrop is trees that are touching the water. And it's a great shot. I mean, the water, the water is in the back is just like jumping up out of the up into the air, and it looks like that goose is really moving. So it is a very cool image of a goose moving from the water to the air. I love birds that can float on the water, fly in the air, and utilize the land in the water. And I also love airplanes that can do the same thing. An airplane to me that can land in the water and land on, you know, on land is really cool. I think it is a really genius idea, because the world is your runway. And
oh, they can all land in the water, Joe.
Yeah. Whether or not they can leave the water is a whole nother whole nother subject.
It's like all birds will float in the water.
Yeah. So I really like this one. Did you guys see it?
Yeah,
I did totally. Look at the photos.
Yeah, I like this one a lot. It's like a pretty cool, like, action shot, I guess. I like how the drops of water are just kind of frozen in the air.
Yeah.
Where she caught the wings kind of in the upper, like, V shape. I think that's pretty sweet. If I had any suggestions to improve this type of image, it would be to shoot it
landscape
horizontal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Landscape. Yeah, definitely. And then, the only other thing, and I don't know, you know, she could have done this and I wouldn't know the difference, but, the iPhone camera has a burst mode, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. So this would be a perfect candidate for burst mode.
Cool.
You know, get a succession of shots and then kind of go through them and find, like, that perfect shot. You know, it's like if the wings were just, like, slightly up or down so you could see its head and neck better.
Uh-huh.
But whatever. This shot is really awesome.
Yeah, I like
it. And it is a great transition from swimming to flying, so I do like it a lot.
Yeah, prior to the show, Matt and I did that little, all right, I picked the post pick, and Matt actually picked it also, so we were on par for
picking. Yeah, we're on it. We're like 4-for-4 or 5-for-5 or something now.
Yeah. So, congratulations, Ruth. You are the post pick of the week. If you guys want to be post pick of the week, be sure to listen and find out what our weekly photo challenge is, and then go into Facebook or Flickr, and you can submit your images in the posts on Facebook or the discussion posts on Flickr, and we go through and we look and see which ones are the best. They're all really good. Let me see if I could pull up the one that I really that I liked also. Oh, Nigel's image of the flowers were beautiful. He had two of the buds had bloomed and the other two were still waiting to open up, and that was, I thought, a good transition. That was a beautiful one. But I really like the goose trying to take off. So if you want to do this, go on to Facebook and submit your images and look at all the other ones that are in there. You'll be amazed and inspired. So any other thoughts on that?
Those two flowers open our late bloomers, huh?
Yeah.
I do want to say real quick, if there's any kind of like strange noise coming from my end of the feed here, there's like an insane rainstorm just pounding the daylights out of my house right now.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we can't hear it.
Okay.
I heard a little bit of it, and it just goes to show that that's something to look forward to on the East Coast here. Because you're getting the weather, and then that means like a day later, I'll probably get it.
Yeah.
Yes, probably.
All right. All right. So we need to pick our next weekly photo challenge, and I have asked the chat room to give us a some different things to choose from. Somebody mentioned spring and Craig says spring. Do you guys even, I guess, know the Southern Hemisphere at all? I guess he's moving into fall. So I think maybe we should pick something that is more relevant to the Northern Hemisphere and the Southern Hemisphere. Bill says shallow depth of field. Greg says that's tough because of the fixed aperture, but there are ways to do it. That actually might be a fun one to do.
You know what? All we said was a topic is spring. It doesn't have to be the season. Yeah. It could actually be a spring.
Then you mean so, I could go and take a picture of my Jeep?
Yes, you can. And if you're in Australia, you're taking a picture of your Jeep amongst everything that's trying to kill you.
Greg says,
we all know that everything there is trying to kill you.
Yes.
That's why the Australian people are so warm and friendly, because they're just happy to be alive.
Yeah. Greg says signs. Let's see here. And I think so either we can do shallow depth of field or signs, or if there's anything else you guys can think of. All right, Mark, which one?
I don't know. I like shallow depth of field, yeah. But I also like spring. Too. All right, you know what? Let's do shallow depth of field.
Okay. I like that. Shallow depth of field. Yes, that is a fun one to do, especially with the iPhone, because it is challenging to get a shallow depth of field, but it can be done. And so, all right. I will post that in our Facebook group, and Matt will post it in the Flickr group, and we will go ahead and get that started. All right. Oh, there is one other thing that we need to mention. In the Facebook group, I think it was Greg mentioned that Google's Nick collection is now free.
Nick software.
Yep. Google bought Nick software, and they acquired Snapseed. Snapseed was $4.99 in the Apple store, and then when they bought it, they made it free. So I guess they're going in the same direction when it comes to all of the Nick software suite. So you have Analog Effects Pro, Color Effects Pro, Silver Effects Pro, Vivisa, HDR Effects Pro, Sharpener Pro, and Define. Those are all free, and these are all for your desktop. So if you have ever used Nick Effects, you're in for a treat. So I have actually, I think I tried the Silver Effects Pro once, I'm going to be downloading these, and you definitely putting these in my arsenal of programs.
Yeah, if you own a Mac or a PC, it's a no-brainer to grab these.
Yeah, these are great programs. So Google actually said some interesting stuff about their decision to make these free, which kind of ties into iPhone photography a little bit. Basically, they say, as we continue to focus our long-term investments in building incredible photo editing tools for mobile, including Google Photos and Snapseed, we've decided to make the Nick Collection desktop suite available for free so that now anyone can use it.
Awesome.
So, now they got me curious, what are the long-term investments and what are the incredible photo editing tools that might come into, to their mobile apps, or maybe there'll even be some new apps. One other thing I just mentioned about this real quick is, if anyone out there has paid for any of these plugins, I think it's maybe if you got them, like, since Google took over Nick, you'll actually get a refund from Google.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm seeing people online saying that they've already gotten their refund. So that is pretty cool.
But Matt says if they bought it in 2016.
Oh, okay.
So, but even still.
Whatever. That's still pretty cool.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. I was like, wow, that's a lot of money. Not only did they buy the company, but then they're turning around and giving everybody their money back. Okay, that makes more sense.
Oh, we'll make sure they have it by April 15th.
Yeah.
Well, this is an interesting development, and I'll be interested to see what Google comes up with in the photo space for mobile in the next, you know, few months or a year or whatever.
Yeah. Very cool. Right on. All right. Anything else you guys want to mention?
Flickr group.
Yeah. Join the Flickr group. If you haven't, do it.
We've got 30 members right now. There's about 250-ish pictures in there at the moment.
Sweet.
I don't know if you remember me mentioning last week. I don't remember if I mentioned it on the show or if it was afterwards that I was having an issue where I really couldn't get my photos to go into any of the groups for whatever reason.
Yeah.
On Flickr. So I found a new way to upload my photos into my Flickr stream. And basically what it is, it's like an online app. It's called Flickstagram. And basically what you do is you go to flickstagram.org, you log into Instagram, and then you log into Flickr, and then you can choose the privacy of your photos, whether they're public or private or like family or whatever. Then you just hit this go button, and then what it does is it creates a new album in your Flickr that's just called Instagram, and it basically uploads every one of your Instagram pictures into this album. So, you know, I'm about to have like 1,000 pictures in my Flickr stream that I didn't have before.
Oh, wow.
And I just went ahead and put like 10 of them into our iPhotography Flickr group.
Send me a link.
I didn't have any trouble at all. So this is pretty sweet. I'm pretty down with this. And I'm going to probably make a contribution to them because the other things that I like that it does is when it imports the photos, it saves the caption that you put in Instagram.
Yeah.
It also adds any hashtags that you put in Instagram. It will add them as Flickr tags. Saves the location data if you added that in Instagram. It also saves the original date that you took the pictures. And then kind of like in the comments section of Flickr, like under your photo, it puts all your Instagram comments. And it shows like how many likes you had on Instagram and all that kind of stuff if you care about that. But it literally transfers like everything from Instagram into Flickr, which is pretty cool.
Wow, that's nice. Awesome.
Yeah, so like I have a Flickr Pro account, so it'll upload everything. If you don't have a Flickr Pro account, it'll only do your first 1,500 photos, which for some people, that's probably plenty.
Yeah.
I don't even have 1,500 photos on Instagram yet, so that's fine. But yeah, it's pretty sweet, I'm not having any issues where I'm getting weird error messages about the format of the picture being incorrect or whatever these crazy messages were that I was getting before.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have that link in the show notes. So if you're interested in it, you can find it there, and we'll probably do a post on Facebook also. And, that way you guys can find it there too.
Right on.
Good deal.
All right.
Yeah. I just wanted to throw that out there real quick.
No, that's great. I mean, there's a lot of things you guys will find out that there's a lot of things that we we'll talk about, and a lot of people haven't heard. But then there's things that other people will know that we don't. So if you have an idea or if you have something, let us know. Greg in the chat room just posted a URL we're going to check out. It's called justgetflux.com. So it sounds like it's probably something that's similar. Be sure to look, and if you have something, let us know, and we'd love to share it with the rest of the group. All right, let me do this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Mark, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Well, you can find me on Instagram. I am Mark Sadowski there. I am mostly Marcus on Twitter. And you can always check out my Fujifilm podcast that I'm doing as a one-mic show. It is called The X-Line. You can find that on iTunes, Stitcher, or any other podcasting device that you have.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying that show. And I don't even have a Fuji camera.
A lot of it is just personal stories. It's just another take on a photography podcast. I'm very little talking about tech and more talking about the headaches and triumphs and tribulations that I've gone through. So yeah. It's like a little bit of a memoir deal.
That's awesome. All right, Matt, tell everybody where they can find you.
Check me out on Instagram. Where else? I am Twitter and Flickr at M Hoffman Photo.
Very cool. You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can also find me in the Flickr group, and you can see some of my photos. I really need to go through my Flickr account and get rid of some and update some. So I have some work ahead of me. If you want to find any of the show notes, links to our YouTube channel, the link to our Facebook group, anything that we have, please go to tinyshutter.com, and we will have all that stuff there. And let other people know about the show, too. If you have a friend that's interested in photography, whether they have an iPhone or an Android or anything like that, tell them about the show. Let them know that we're out there. And if you can, go onto iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. And that way we can get bumped up in the list of podcasts for photography. We really enjoy doing this show. You guys make it a joy to be able to come on every week and be able to talk about the things that we love. And when explaining this show to others, I tell them it's a virtual camera club. You know, none of us are better than our listeners. We're kind of going through and watching some of our listeners do some amazing work. And we really enjoy it. The art that's being produced and all the stuff that you guys have to contribute really make this show a top-notch show. We really love doing it. So I want to thank you guys for that. All right. Anything else you guys want to mention before we close this sucker up?
I wish I had prepared a witty statement.
You mean something like this?
This is a great shot, Mav. I should be a photographer.
This place is dead anyway, man.
All right, say goodnight, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Dumb bastards.
There we go.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Kowalski, let's our trajectory. 95% certain this will end in massive, flaming disaster.
And the other 5%?
Irrelevant, sir.